This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
The broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. Today's show features Sue Gibson, owner of SLG Senior Care, and Alex, as in Alexandra Morris, owner of Geriatric Care Management and Dementia Consulting. Both are serving the Central Coast, so this is a very important show today. We will explore the services and options for care as we age and how best to proceed if you're a senior or a caregiver, and we will provide guidance on coping with caregiver burnout and the most appropriate residential settings for seniors in various stages of aging. Of course, this is a call-in show, guys, so give us a call at 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So, Susan, what do you got on your stack to start the show?
Well, I don't know if anyone else has noticed that life has been a little stressful lately, just with all the things that are happening in our country, locally, the storms. It's just one thing after another. So I found an article about what petting a dog or cat does for your brain, which is actually very positive. All of us who are animal lovers already know this, but there's actually been a pretty large study done that shows that petting a cat or a dog does affect the prefrontal cortex of our brains, which actually helps with our social activities, our emotional balance, and even it plays a role in working memory, problem solving, and attention control. So it's really important for us to have access to a cat or a dog. And I mean, especially looking at the memory issues for older people, having a pet can really make them happier, more socially well adjusted, and just keep them healthier.
If you have three, does it have a
cumulative effect?
Exponential effect?
We have three dogs that rule our lives. The other thing it does is, as interacting with animals like that, is it lowers your level of cortisol, which is like a stress hormone. And leaving the house, I happened to see that the Biden administration, in fact, just started deploying therapy dogs and their handlers to the border, because the Border Patrol agents are under such horrible stress. In fact, there were 14 suicides among Border Patrol agents in 2022.
Maybe if they just let them do their job, huh?
Well, I hope that's not the only thing they're doing for them, but
yeah.
It just shows that, you know, there is verifiable proof that being with animals helps your emotional state.
Well, of course, you remember when the kids came back from Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, they were told to get a dog or
right.
a cat
yep.
to take care of them.
Yep.
So that's absolutely. All right, well, let's get started with Sue and Alex. I'm going to do a quick introduction on both of them. Sue Gibson helps families find assisted living facilities in San Luis Obispo County. She's been working with seniors for 8 years and has helped more than 800 families. Sue is a certified senior advisor and a member of the National Placement and Referral Alliance. Previously, she spent 20 years in pharmaceutical marketing and spent 12 years with WebMD developing online educational programs for doctors and their patients. She has a master's degree in pharmaceutical marketing. Her father has Parkinson's and dementia, and she's helped her own family find a community for him in Canada, where she is also from. Sue is compassionate patient. I know she's patient because we're part of the same business networking group, and she puts up with me constantly, and has great listening skills. Sue lives at Atascadero with her partner, Bob, and enjoys, of all things, drinking wine. I can't imagine why they moved to the Central Coast. Alex Morris is a gerontologist with 30 years experience working with people living with dementia and their families. She was the executive director in an assisted living community, a site director of an adult daycare program, a director of a camp for brain injured adults, and a state certified ombudsman. For 21 years, Alex has provided care consulting and community and professional education for the Alzheimer's Association. Currently, she's a geriatric care manager serving the Central Coast regarding the challenges that come with aging family members. Ladies, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Let's start with Alex here. Could you take a high level of a picture of what you and your company does, and then on to Sue?
Sure. So geriatric care management, also known as aging life care professionals, is a profession that provides a holistic approach for elders and other dependent adults. Areas of focus are caregiving and family, health and safety, values and well-being, advocacy, housing, legal, financial, local and national resources, and crisis intervention.
Okay, great. And Sue?
Barry, I help families find independent living, assisted living, memory care, and board and care. I check the care and violation reports and only recommend safe options. I provide my clients with fact sheets and tour checklists to help them on the journey. I tour with them to be there to ask and answer questions. I follow up 2, 7, and 30 days after move-in to make sure everything's going as planned. And I provide them with other resources like move managers, real estate agents, and geriatric care managers.
Cool.
Great. So how do you two, the services you provide, complement each other on behalf of seniors and caregivers?
Right. Well, Susan, I focus on just the placement side of things and moving the senior from their home or wherever they're living. I'm like a matchmaker for homes. Alex and I work together on cases because she continues the service with the clients even after they have been placed.
Okay.
And how about yourself, Alex? What other differences do you see between your roles?
Sure. Well, Sue did a good job of explaining it's what I do is more holistic, it's more all-encompassing, and we have worked together on a couple of cases. One is where the elder was living alone in Atascadero, and the neighbors and the niece, who lived 200 miles away, were very concerned. She was starting to have memory problems. And the niece brought in Sue. Sue quickly realized that they would need more support. And so I was able to get the lovely woman to the doctor and get the proper diagnosis and get the paperwork that's required to move somebody into a facility.
So when is the right time for a senior or a family member to reach out to a geriatric care manager?
The best time is early, when maybe even just pre-planning, but certainly by the time you're starting to notice changes in your person. Our business gets pretty busy after the holidays because families go home, they see their mom or dad or whomever, and they start to really notice, wow, the bills are piled up. It wasn't like this last year. Mom's repeating herself. What are those new dings on the car? So we get a lot of calls after families have visited and or after family have been heard from neighbors or even law enforcement about their person. So earlier, the better.
And as we discussed before the show, if somebody has a long-term care insurance policy, you may be brought in by the insurance company to assess the senior's situation, their loss of ADLs or cognitive issues, and create a plan of care, do an assessment and a plan of care.
That's absolutely correct. Yes. Well, I've done that several times.
Yeah. When we talk to people about long-term care insurance, we sometimes fail to mention the amount of benefit beyond just the money you get, but it's the help that the insurance company gives you to file a claim and do all that sort of thing.
And through someone like Alex,
right.
You know, that you have access
right.
to someone like her to sort of oversee your care.
Yep.
Because then we were talking, suppose a senior has no family. It's kind of like you just mentioned, you know, then there's a whole other level of involvement, right?
That's correct. There's actually a term. They're called solo agers, folks who don't have a spouse or adult children available to help them as they grow older.
Anything here? You get brought in after the assessment, right? That Alex may do to talk about how we get mom or dad into a care community, or right, Sue?
That's right. Alex would do one type of assessment, and then I do another one where I look at their financial situation, their geographical needs, some of their other needs, and then I match them to one of the 110 facilities that we have here in Slo County, and then take them out to see those facilities, and together we figure out which is going to be the best fit for them.
Right. So what is, Alex, what is the process once you hire a geriatric care manager?
So the initial process is just what we've been talking about, an assessment and care plan. So I look at the whole situation, and then I make my recommendations. We have a one-hour visit with the family with my professional written report on all the various domains. Medication is almost always on there, right? Mm-hmm. Housing, et cetera, how to pay for services, all of that. And then the family decides whether they want to continue to work with me or not after that.
Okay, great. Great.
Some of the things then that you would look at, because we have just
about 30 seconds, minute.
Yeah. So you look at things like, are they eating right? Do they, you know, are they still able to cook? Are they bathing themselves? Are they feeling safe around the home and that kind of thing, correct?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So listen, when we return, we're going to dig deeper into a number of other topics with Sue and Alex, including the differences between Alzheimer's and dementia, senior living options and costs, and what seniors and their families should be looking for in a care community. Again, call in with questions, 238-5775. That's 238-KPRL.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. A judge in Georgia heard arguments today over whether or not former President Trump violated state election law following the 2020 election.
The case revolved around the recording of a phone call between the then president and Georgia's Secretary of State. The report presumably contains recommendations by Atlanta prosecutor Fannie Willis, a Democrat, as to whether or not criminal prosecution should be pursued.
Fox's Evan Brown. An arrest has been made in a deadly shooting at an alternative school in Iowa that's believed to have been sparked by an ongoing gang dispute.
Police in Des Moines say 18-year-old Preston Walls is in custody, facing first-degree murder, attempted murder, and other charges in the Monday shooting deaths of two students at the Starts Right Here program. The alternative school's founder also shot and injured.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
RE/MAX success is all about community. Located on Main Street in downtown Templeton, they sponsor concerts in the parks of Templeton, Atascadero, and now Arroyo Grande. Rotary events, Templeton 4th of July, FFA tractor pull, and cheers to charity raised over $43,000 for Slo County Youth Sports. A powerhouse of knowledge in real estate. RE/MAXSuccessTeam.com. Each RE/MAX office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Alex Morris, a geriatric care manager, and Sue Gibson of SLG Senior Care. The KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So, Alex, since dementia is one of your areas of expertise, what is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
That is the number one question that we get. So dementia is an overview, a group of symptoms in five major domains. You only have, and I'll name them quickly. So it's short-term memory loss, behavioral changes, language challenges, executive function, which is judgment, reasoning, focus, abstraction, and organization, and which one? Oh, visual spatial. So you only have, when you're over 65, you only have to have significant decline, not just where you put your keys, but significant decline in two out of five of those areas, and you have dementia. The big question is, what's the cause? What is causing it? An example that we like to use is if you went to the doctor and you got an unfortunate diagnosis of cancer, I think your first question would be, what kind of cancer? And so if a person gets a diagnosis of dementia, I would like people to say, why? What is happening to me that is causing this? Alzheimer's is the number one cause of dementia. We believe, depending on what statistic you look at, it's over 60% of the time. But that means that there's other diseases, but also 10% of the time, it is something that is potentially treatable. reversible even, like some vitamin B12 or depression, serious but treatable. There are a number of issues, thyroid problems, hypo and hyperthyroidism, looks like Alzheimer's, looks like dementia. And if we treat those things, the person gets better.
What is Lewy body?
Hmm. Good question. So the other big players in this, aside from Alzheimer's, are Lewy body, Parkinson's with some atypical dementia, and vascular, that's what I was reaching for, and Lewy body and FTD, which I'll tell you in a second. But Lewy body is quite complex. It affects more men than women and younger. 55 is the age of risk for Lewy body and frontal temporal. Alzheimer's disease, 65 is the age of risk. And women get Alzheimer's more than the fellows do. And the major symptoms are hallucinations. Mm. Hallucinations is huge, along with the memory and the confusion that we would see. We would also see huge fluctuations. So one afternoon, dad could look great, and you're questioning yourself. You're wondering, maybe nothing's wrong with him. Maybe he was just having a bad day or a bad week, and then the next day or the next week, we see him really decline. So that's one some of the aspects of Lewy body.
And isn't it, Alzheimer's is an organic disease too that affects the brain physically as well. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. All of these diseases that we're talking about affect the brain. They cause degeneration in particular parts of the brain. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Is there anything else on this really important topic that listeners should be aware of?
Yes. Well, if you yourself are noticing, or if you're noticing changes like I just described in somebody you love, someone who trusts you, please raise it and try to get that person to a doctor. Because as I said before, sometimes we can treat these things. And I didn't say, but will now, there are medications. They're modest, but there are medications to treat Alzheimer's. And the evidence suggests the sooner you get them, the better it is. So the sooner, it's always the sooner the better. And if you get a diagnosis early enough, that person can be more involved in their future, in their financial planning, in their care planning, be more involved in the rest of their life. If we wait, and sometimes it can't be, I'm not trying to be judgmental, sometimes the person's resistant or fearful or just doesn't see it in themselves. Lack of awareness comes along with this. But if we wait until that person is mid-stage, then we lose that opportunity.
Yep.
And in the world of long-term care insurance, denial is always an issue. And I've seen it myself, the denial either of the person themselves or especially their family members. They don't want to believe that their spouse or their sibling or whoever is really starting to have cognitive issues. And so they keep passing it off as, oh, they're just, you know, getting old or whatever. And so it's just get the person, yourself or that person, to the doctor as soon as you can. It makes such a difference.
Yep. So, Sue, can you give us an idea of the senior living options in Slo County?
Sure, Barry. If we're focusing on the assisted living facilities that exist in Slo County, there's actually 110 of them in Slo County. Those include 86 of the 6-bed residential care homes. And so about
those are called board and care.
Board and care facilities.
Right.
You've got that. And there's about a dozen of the larger facilities, like the Oaks in Paso Robles and Napomo, the Avila, the Villages and Las Brisas. Those are some examples of the larger facilities.
So what are some of the differences and similarities between independent living, assisted living, memory care, and board and care?
Okay.
Well, it can be really confusing.
Yeah, it can be confusing. One of the things that's similar across all three is that they are all on a month-to-month basis. You're not locked into a lease with them. One of the things that's also similar about assisted living and independent living is that they are about 100 beds. They're larger facilities. The board and cares are all small, 6 beds, maybe up to 30 beds. With the independent living and the assisted living, the things that are similar there is that they have 3 meals a day and snacks. The housekeeping is taken care of. There's usually about 5 to 8 activities a day, so it keeps people active and engaged. Laundry facilities are included. Transportation to doctor's appointments, as well as to outdoor activities and outings and scenic drives. And they have facilities such as an activity room. Sometimes they'll have a swimming pool or a pool table, a gym. And they all have about a 4 to 7% increase per year.
Okay. And this type of facility in California is regulated by the Department of Social Services?
Correct, Department of Social Services. And they're called RCFE.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Residential Care Facilities for the Elderly.
You got it.
And, of course, traditional nursing homes, what people think about, those are overseen by the Department of Health Services, right?
Okay. That's correct.
Yeah, that's I think, an important distinction that people sometimes miss.
And what about memory care?
So memory care is similar to what we've talked about, but the things that are different about it is it's locked because people tend to wander in the memory care units. Also, what's a little different is there's the brain health programming that is different in the memory care unit. And then there's no menus in the memory care area because the people can't cope with that. They're served usually on colorful plates, and they're served a choice of the chicken or the fish, and they have to choose which one they want. They're not given a menu. So that's a little bit about some of the differences. Also, we'll talk about pricing, I think, later, but the pricing in the memory care units is all-inclusive. Whereas in assisted living and independent living, it's base cost plus care costs.
Right.
So what questions should somebody ask when they're touring a care community?
Well, that's a really good question to ask. There's probably about 30 or so questions that they should ask. And if they want a tour checklist, they can go onto my website and send me an email, and I'd be happy to email them my tour checklist. But about a dozen things that they should probably look out for are the cleanliness of the home and the grounds, the visiting hours. They should also take a look at the menus and ask about any special dietary needs that they have. They should find out if pets are allowed, if that's important to them. And look at the daily activity calendar to see if it maps to what they're interested in. If they have a preference for religious services, check and see if those are offered. And then look at the care staff ratio. That's very important to make sure that that maps to what they're looking for as well. And talk to them about what emergency response systems they have available in their facility. And as well, take a look at the residents and see if they look like they're happy and they're engaged, or are they slumped over in their wheelchairs and not engaged at all. So take a look at the facilities around you. There's a few other things that you should discuss as well and take a look at on your tour checklist.
Why don't you just give your website now, since people can
sure.
get the list of questions, which is very valuable.
www.slgseniorcare.com.
Great.
Let's give Alex a chance to, you know, how can people get in touch with you or go to your website? Because I was going to ask this later. We'll do it again later, but go ahead.
Sure. So it's my name, Alexandra Morris, GCM, like geriatric care manager, .com.
Great. Okay.
Perfect.
So Sue, how do you help people? I think this is really important. And it may lead us to another conversation that we were talking about before the show, the follow-up that you do for people once they're in the care community. Because a lot of these other services, these national services, they don't do any of that. You know, you're really a local person here, you know, looking to help people over a long period of time.
Right. There's 3 things that I do that are quite different than these internet-based services that are out there. Is I do a live assessment with my clients. So I meet with them live so that I actually have eyes on them, like Alex does as well. She wouldn't just go blindly into a situation without meeting the client. So I do that pre, during, I tour with them. So I'm there to ask and answer questions because they're not going to know all the questions that they should be asking, even if they do have my tour checklist. And then afterwards, I follow up 2, 7, and 30 days after move-in. I drop in randomly so that I can see what's going on and I don't just leave it to chance. And I also have an e-newsletter that I register them for, and I follow up every 3 to 4 weeks with them. So that if there's a change in condition, I can come back into the fold and I can help to do placement again.
That's great. That's awesome. And when we talk about these different types of facilities, what's the range of costs that we see in our county here?
Well, that's a really good question, Susan. The costs have gone through the roof. They really have. For independent living, it starts at $3,500 for a studio. For assisted living, it starts at $3,500 plus your care costs. Your care costs range from $500 to $3,000 a month. So that's what you're looking at for assisted living. For memory care, usually it's all-inclusive, so you're starting at about $6,500 and going up from there to around $10,000 to $12,000 a month for memory care. Your board and care facilities start at $3,800 for a shared room, and your private rooms start at $6,000 here in Slo County for a board and care facility. So that's what we're looking at in for costs in our area.
It's a lot of money. If I understand it correctly, the board and care facilities are often in a residential home in a neighborhood. You might not even know that they're there, right? They just look like a regular home in a neighborhood, which
very
a lot of people
so.
Like.
Yes. The thing that will distinguish them, Susan, is that ramp out the front that they have. That usually distinguishes them, and the signs that they have plastered by the front door that are the ombudsman signs, etc. But other than that, you'd never know it was a board and care facility.
Right.
Are there, just a curiosity, is there like zoning issues with those board and care facilities?
That's a really good question.
I guess
Gary,
we need to get Leslie Anderson Mills in here to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Well, the music is up. When we return, we're going to dig into our final session with Sue and Alex. So stay tuned.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed as investors weighed the latest crop of earnings results. Industrials and real estate companies were among the gainers, while healthcare and tech lagged. Johnson & Johnson reported a 25% drop in earnings for the fourth quarter as demand declined for its COVID-19 vaccine. J&J also provided a cautious forecast for sales growth as the healthcare products company gets in gear to spin off its consumer health business into a new company. And Verizon posted higher revenue for its fourth quarter, but its full-year earnings outlook came up shy of expectations. The wireless carrier did return to positive subscriber growth in its consumer postpaid phone business, and its stock rose 2%. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Travelers, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, 3M, Amgen, and Merck. The Dow rising 104 points, the NASDAQ down 30, S&P 500 down 3. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Democrats predicted an end to high inflation, but nothing has changed. In fact, food and housing prices are still going higher. Hi, this is Stephen K. Bannon, and I urge you to protect your savings from inflation by diversifying into a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To see how it works, simply text the word SHELTER to 989898, and you'll get a free info kit on gold IRAs that will explain everything. Again, that's SHELTER to 989898. There's no obligation or purchase required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stiefel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
Nick Madera, CPA in Atascadero. What is the ERC, the Employee Retention Credit?
My kind of take on it, in layman's terms, it's a thank you to business owners for keeping their employees on payroll during the pandemic. Basically, you're reclaiming payroll expenses for those employees you kept on during the pandemic, but there's rules you got to play by. There's two ways to qualify. One of them is you were directly affected by a government shutdown. So restaurants, retail, had to close their doors, automatic qualifier. The other way is you had to have a 50% drop in gross revenue comparative from like 2020 through 2019, the same quarter, and then from 2021 between 2020 and 2019. So there's various ways you can calculate it to see if you meet that 50% threshold. That's how a lot of companies are doing this thing. So it's all based on payroll.
Make sure your business takes advantage of every deduction available. For more information on the Employee Retention Credit, the person to talk to is Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero. Call 805-466-7249.
We're back with Sue Gibson and Alex Morris. If you have a question for them or a comment, please give them a call at 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. All right, so Alex, you know, I learned something in doing our show prep that you, and of course Sue does too to an extent, but you in particular work with what are called licensed fiduciaries. These are people that help seniors with their legal and financial issues and can also serve as their agent for healthcare decisions. Can you unpack this for us a bit?
Sure. So they're a great resource. As I mentioned earlier with the solo agers, folks who don't have family available to help them as they age, or when something unforeseen happens, the caregiver dies or becomes incapacitated before the person that they're caring for. In those kinds of situations, having a fiduciary in play, wow, what a benefit that is to everybody. I myself have brought in fiduciaries for those reasons, and fiduciaries bring us in when they need help with pretty much everything else. I'll tell a quick story. One of my gals who works in, who lives in assisted living memory care, her TV went out and she sundowns. We didn't talk about sundowning, but that's when a person gets more anxious as the day goes on. And she was a serious sundowner. And the facility called me, the TV broke down and said, Alex, please, we're in a bind. She needs to watch her Judge Judy later. Please, can you run to wherever and get us a TV? I called the fiduciary because he handles the money. He said, oh, yeah, go do that. So I went to Costco. I brought my husband along because I wasn't sure I could set it up. and we set up that TV very quickly. So having a partner, a fiduciary is great.
We have a call. Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to just, do a shout out to Sue Gibson. This is Malin Bruce. And you helped us place my mom in a care facility really quickly, and because we didn't have a lot of time. And I just wanted people to know, but what you do is amazing. I mean, you don't have to do any legwork. You don't have to contact any of the homes. You don't have to do research because you have already done all that. And all we have to do is come to you, and your service is amazing.
Well, thank you, Malin. I really appreciate your kind words. It's my pleasure to be of assistance to all my clients.
Thanks for your call, Malin. Have a great day.
Yeah, all right. You bet. You too.
All right. Well, there's a testimonial for you. Yeah, how much did you pay him? No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of pay, I think Susan's got another question here.
Right. Can you give our audience an idea of how you get paid for the services you provide?
Yeah, in my case, my services are free to the family, Susan, but I get compensated by the care homes and the communities, and they pay me a percentage of the first month's rent.
Right. Makes sense.
And for geriatric care management, if the elder is fortunate enough to have a long-term care insurance policy, sometimes they help pay for what I do. Otherwise, it's private pay.
Right. Okay. I know I hired a geriatric care manager back when my mom lived in Florida because we weren't quite sure where she was in the process and if she needed formal help yet or what. And they were amazing, just so helpful.
Well, and I want to just go back to Malin's call and also this whole notion of the level of service that you get. Because I think this is really important. We're probably going to hopefully a place for mom doesn't advertise on the station, but I know Susan didn't have a good experience with that, and Sue may have some comments on that as well.
Right. But I had a very bad experience with a place for mom because the way their business model works is they get contracts with maybe not all 110 facilities in this county, but a large number of them. And if you call a place for mom because you're trying to get some assistance on where to put mom or your loved one, they do very little except take your name and number and then pass it on to all those facilities. They do not provide the type of assistance in any form or fashion that Sue does. And there was actually wrong information put on the form by the person who answered the phone, which said they said that my mom had Alzheimer's when she did not. Therefore, if she had it, I could not get her into assisted living. It created such a problem for me. If I had known you were here, I would have called you in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Susan. That is a problem. Getting your name blasted out all over the airwaves is the first problem. And then second, the erroneous information is the second problem. I think just having that follow-up that I do as well is an important third component to make sure everything's going as planned. They don't have feet on the street. I am here and physically can follow up live with my clients.
And I want to say one other thing about that is that in addition to not having the personal local people here to help, if you go on and just look, if you just go on the internet and look up assisted living in San Luis Obispo County, you're going to have to go through like 8 pages of a place for mom and the other one, caring.com, before you even get to a place where you can find a place by yourself without going to them. And so that, because they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising.
So they locked up all these domains, huh?
Right.
But all roads lead to one spot.
Right. And so
Wow. It
takes a while to find a place on your own, you know, even if you're just trying to look on the internet.
Very much so. And also, if you do end up calling the places, you'll end up reaching the caregivers, not the owners or the administrators. I have a direct connection with the owners and the administrators, so I can very quickly tell you who has availability. The person that works in the care home really doesn't have that purview into availability.
That's right. Yeah, they're not administrators. They're focused on giving care. So they don't have the answers that the owners or administrators would have.
And I just wanted to tag on to that, to what Barry just said, is that when you search for a geriatric care manager or an aging life care professional, guess what you get? A place for mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
You have to search using the exact name of my business or my exact name. Otherwise, you will not find me.
Well, yeah. You know, while we still have time, let's get those your contact information out again. How do people get in touch with you guys?
So my website is my name, Alexandra Morris, GCM.com. My number is 805-441-7550.
And my website is sue@slgseniorcare.com. There's a lot of information and resources there for you. And you can reach me on my cell phone, which is left over from the Bay Area, at 415-656-6869. But I answer 24/7.
And again, in my experience, and we'll leave it at this, I mean, in working with care communities on a number of different consulting projects, they like working with local folks, you know, who have their ear to the ground and they know. And so, yeah, keep it local, just like Malin did, our call-in guy. I think is it Malin? Is that his name?
Great. Yeah.
All right, cool. Anyway, you're famous now, Malin. All right. So in your experience, and we'll just tag team this through to the end of the segment, you know, what are the resources people are tapping into to pay for their care and other services that they need?
Well, I'll start. So to pay for a variety of services, if they don't have long-term care, they have to get into their private assets, mm-hmm. their savings, checking, investments, and eventually their homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're liquidating their homes, but first they're blowing through their other assets. And of course, what we always tell people when we're doing long-term care planning is that when you have to liquidate your assets, you have what we call shrinkage. Because sometimes there's taxes, sometimes you're selling the product, the asset at a bad time in the market, you know, and so you could lose 20 or 30% easily just by having to liquidate something when it's not a good time. Sue, is that are you finding this as well?
Yes, I am. I would say the same assets that Alex mentioned, plus also there is veteran benefits. If you are a veteran and you've had at least one day of active service, you can tap into almost $1,800 a month that could go towards your long-term care in a board and care or an assisted living facility. And I have about 5% of my clients that have long-term care insurance. And, you know, it's a conversation that I have with every one of my clients at the end of my session with them. If they are in their 40s or 50s or even early 60s, I say to them, isn't it time you considered long-term care insurance, because you don't want to be in the same situation of having to sell your home to finance your long-term care.
So here's an interesting question that I have for you guys. I'm getting off track now, but when we were really heavily into long-term care insurance, we always had this notion that when you working with children of people, you know, children who had parents that they were dealing with those long-term care issues, you know, that those children in their 50s would be a perfect client. But we never found that to be the case. They'd be dealing with their parents' stuff, and they were in denial that it was going to happen to them. And I, you know, so denial, folks, is not a river in Egypt. Okay. So anyway, well, listen, the music is up. Alex and Sue, you guys have just been terrific. We'll have you on again to unpack some more of these issues. So
thank you so much.
Thanks, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan and Barry. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeak Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeak Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeak Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeak Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeak specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeak Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeakpainting.com. That's S-P-E-E-K-Painting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Since 1966, Hammond Overhead Door Company has provided residential garage doors that offer more than just a strong and secure way to close your garage. They also add beauty and value to your home. Hammond Overhead Door has the right garage door to complement your home and your budget. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're into our fourth segment, the last segment, and we're going to be talking, doing stories from the stack, as it were. But in the meantime, we'd love to, it's great having call-ins. We really enjoy it if you call in. So give us a call at 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. All right, so my story from the stack is this, Susan. Anybody who was awake last week was subjected to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And, you know, who would ever want to miss, you know, Al Gore having a meltdown over the climate? This guy's going to have a heart attack. I mean, he's like a broken record. And then we have our former Secretary of State, Lurch, telling us that the only way that they're going to solve the problem is if we give them more of our money to solve the problem. But I went off to I went to the WEF, World Economic Forum, website. So I'm using them as the source, and these are some reports that I picked up that I just thought is typical of this totalitarian organization, because now they've coined a new term called polycrisis. How worried should you be? And what they're talking about here is that the world is now facing so many connected risks that a polycrisis is threatened. Is a cost of living crisis the most immediate and severe global risk? Well, who caused the cost of living crisis? You know, and we don't have time to go into that answer. Climate-related risks. You know, remember we were supposed to have a dry year this year? It was a La Nina, and as we mentioned, I think last week at the show, you know, this month we've gotten 30 inches of rain at our place in West Templeton. So they've got these papers. They're ginning up the fear constantly.
My thing has always been, if someone is trying to sell something through fear, then right away, you know, there's something going on, right? Because as opposed to offering something because of logic or because it makes sense, once they're ginning up the fear to the point of trying to cause mass panic, as has happened in the last few years, as we all know, then you know, immediately you step back and go, what's going on here? Who benefits from this? And it's not us.
Yeah. And when you look through this polycrisis report, I mean, it's the same old, same old. I mean, they say it's the cost of living crisis, which has been caused by these jokers. Okay. Natural disasters and extreme weather, which we have hardly any control over. A geo-economic confrontation. Well, you know, who's causing all that stuff? I mean, and again, of course, the failure to mitigate climate change. I mean, please.
Well, see, the part that bothers me the most about this climate change talk is, remember when we used to talk about conservation? Those of us here, especially the farmers and the people that work on the land, we know what it means, especially in a place like this, to conserve water, to conserve our soil, to make sure that our animals are well taken care of. And a lot of this talk about climate change actually does a lot of damage to the planet, as opposed to really taking care of the resources that we have.
Yeah. So if you want to see just, again, a really amazing piece of propaganda from the World Economic Forum, and the minds of John Kerry and Al Gore, look up polycrisis. Go to the website. Go to the World Economic Forum website. Then I'm going to share another document. I don't mean to monopolize this, but this got me going this morning, Susan. And I know you'll have some comments on this too. Another big initiative of the World Economic Forum is basically to herd people out of the country into cities. And, of course, it's a control issue. What do they call it, Agenda 2030 now?
Agenda 2030, well, right.
So now they've and this has been around for 4 or 5 years, they've coined a German term, of course, because where do these types of ideas come from or originate from? It's called Baukultur. Baukultur refers to the production of the built environment and how we interact with it, including planning, building, remodeling, and conservation. Like you can't use a gas stove, right? This term, Baukultur, encompasses not only architecture, but also engineering, urban, and regional planning. And again, Susan, weren't you reading something to me or telling me about something where they basically want to move people into these little ant farms?
I think it's called the Blade, BLADE, which is sort of telling in itself. I'll have to look that up again, but there was a model city built that's this gigantic glass-looking rectangle that extends something like 100 miles, and there's all little mini cities within it that have everything you need. And so I looked at that, and I thought, what it really is an ant farm for humans. That's what it is.
Right.
So they can consolidate the humans into one place, and then they can have the rest of the planet right to themselves.
Yep. My last comment on this and the World Economic Forum today anyway, is if you look at this paper on Bach culture, it's this utopian wish list of top-down control on the population. And we need to be mindful of what's going on. We do need to be mindful of what's going on in the culture. And this is bad culture that's coming out of the World Economic Forum.
And I want to go back to what I said a few weeks ago on this topic. The main thing that we need to do if we want to maintain our freedom and our independence is to resist all these things and to not let ourselves be driven to use their new digital currency, for example, to not automatically submit to whatever new pandemic they come up with and so on, as to really maintain our independence, to buy local, support our local farmers and local farmers markets, and just if we have to, create our own parallel economy and just take care of ourselves locally and just not like withdraw from all this stuff that they're trying to do on a global scale.
Do you have anything quick? Because I want to say one more thing, but anything on your stack that's quick that you want to bring up?
It's not that quick what I was going to bring up, so you can go for yours if you want.
Well, I'm not sure we have much time here.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Well, so I just wanted to mention, you know, I just wanted to mention that we've been doing the show now for a number of months, and we've kind of gotten a feel on many topics. I just wanted to mention to you, contact Lazen Bear Insurance for your business valuation, your life, disability, long-term care insurance, and annuity questions. We're more than happy to do policy reviews and tell you how we can help you and your businesses and your family. It's been a fast hour. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry at blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's